Welcome back, everyone. This is Oscar Talk, the final installment of the year, with yours truly, Chris Tapley of InContention.com and Ann Thompson of Thompson on Hollywood. And this was a pretty big weekend, starting on Saturday. Well, starting on Friday for you, probably Thursday
night.
Actually. Yeah.
Thursday night. There was a really good roadside party at Soho House, and I'm sort of liking Soho House because they're sort of set up for these parties.
What's not to like?
I know. It's so pleasant. And, you know, they just treat you right, and the parking's organized. Everything's organized there. Mm-hmm. And it was just really fun, you know, before everything, you know, to sort of kick back with Javier Bardem, who still, you know, this is such a humble guy. He really is. He still worries about getting his next job after having already won an Oscar and earned a second one. You know,
if I had Penelope Cruz at home, I don't think I'd be worried about anything.
I know. And a little baby, which he's very happy about. And then in Iritu, they were serving these Grey Goose cocktails, which I never drink hard liquor ever. I'm a wine drinker. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it just looked very inviting. And
yeah.
And it really was a bad idea. But anyway, everybody was a bit looped at this thing, including in a good way, in Iritu, you know, and he was just entertaining everybody. He can be very theatrical.
Yeah, yeah. Charismatic guy. That was Thursday.
And then after that, there was an IFC party up on Sunset, and Sunset was just hopping. You know, it was just you could just tell that there were parties all over town. And I think I crossed the street I was going to walk down to the Sunset Marquee where there was another, you know, group of people assembling. Mm-hmm. After the IFC shut down the bar, you know, and there's like Mark Forster waiting for his car, you know, across the street. You know, there was just parties everywhere. And then Friday, I'm afraid I was feeling a little bit of the pain from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I laid low to recuperate for the weekend, and Saturday started off bright and early with the Indie Spirits.
I was drinking Jameson before noon.
Oy.
So Saturday was a big day for me. That's one of the reasons I love Indie Spirits, because the Jameson sponsorship.
It's the longest cocktail party there ever was.
That
yeah.
too, yeah.
I loved it when Lisa Cholodenko went up on stage with clutching her Jameson whiskey bottle.
Yes, yes.
Which were very big.
I'm sure the Jameson people are very happy with all of the shout-outs they got. Because wasn't Craig Robinson's bit kind of built around the bottle of Jameson? Because I didn't really hear what was going on there. But it looked like he was singing to a bottle of Jameson.
I thought Joel McHale did very well, actually. I you know, it was up and down, but for the most mm-hmm. part, he was an entertaining host. I mean, it was not such a fun Spirit Awards because they returned it to the beach, which was good. Last year's experiment downtown did not go over very well.
Even though it was freezing this year.
It was very cold and everybody was unhappy. And Terrence Howard was up on the stage, says, "Can't you afford any heat?" You know, but they had commercial breaks, and that just took the air out of the room. I mean,
it was a mess. Everyone was up mingling during the segments. It was just kind of out of control.
I agree.
I didn't see the telecast. I don't know. I'm sure they edited it and whipped it into shape and everything. But and then having those two awards, you know, Maddie Libatique winning for Black Swan and Lena Dunham winning for Tiny Furniture at the start, only to be edited in later.
It was weird that they did that because what they completely neglected to think about was that this is a show for the people in the room,
mm-hmm.
and you know that it had to play for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope they reconsider next year the commercial breaks because it really didn't work.
I guess those actually weren't edited in; they just mentioned them later, didn't they? They didn't.
I think
really
they just mentioned them later.
Yeah,
yeah, because they did that. It's a tape delay thing, so they slapped that baby up there. But the people in the room and the people, you know, like this announcers was saying, you know, seriously, get into your seats.
Please.
You're not going to corral these kitties.
My favorite part was just running into Brenda McFadden, cold weather producer, old college friend, having some drinks. They're doing well.
So you went to Shudders afterwards.
A few of us went over there.
The IFC party because they did it as a pre-party this year, but there was a whole other smaller thing.
It was kind of dead. It wasn't really. And then I went over to the Viceroy. There was a
All my
gathering over
IndieWire
there.
guys were
Yeah,
there.
all the IndieWire kids were
It
there.
was too cold. Sophia and I just took off back to the car. We were freezing to death.
But as for the Black Swan was obviously the big winner and well deserved. Probably
And
everyone
Searchlight,
expected it to
because they
happen.
also won for Franco. So
Right.
Franco had a good time at the Spirits and made a big fuss about how this is his world, the indie world. And I think it's true. I don't think he really belonged on the stage at the Oscars at all.
No, he didn't, but we'll get to
We'll get
that.
to that.
That's what everyone's probably saying. Get to it now. That's what we're here listening to and wanting to hear.
Well,
But
first, we went to the Weinstein party, which
yes.
was really, really. Oh, we both went to the HBO party, which was very civilized, and we learned things about all the different docs. But then that was at the Four Seasons, and then the Weinstein party was back at Soho House, only in this much more elaborate, bigger space. They sort of took the whole thing over. It was really fun. That was
It
one of
was
the best
great.
parties I've been to in a long time.
It went well into the night too. I think we
Yeah.
left at around 12:30 and people were showing up. DiCaprio was showing up.
There was a long, narrow hallway between one part of it and the other, and everybody was sort of crammed into the part where Harvey and Bob had their banquets and everything. And I had the nicest, most civilized conversation with my favorite person, David Seidler, who I just have a huge crush on. And just because he's so intelligent and so civilized and such a nice man, just a pleasure to talk to. And then on the way out, Leo is coming in, and
Bradley Cooper.
Adrian Brody and Bradley Cooper,
I started to feel like, should I be leaving now? Should the party, maybe the party's starting now.
and Emma Watson. Oh my God. So
I
that was a lot
was,
of
it
fun.
was great. I was happy to catch up with Colin Firth, who I had not really spoken to since Telluride.
Yeah, I spoke
And
to him too.
as charming as ever, graceful as ever, very happy for him. I had some time with Jenny Bevan, which I had not spoken to her all year.
Cool.
I've never spoken to her before,
The
actually.
costume designer.
She had a great story about Helena Bonham Carter from A Room with a View. She had to take Helena back home to London after shooting 2-hour drive, and she says she hasn't really changed at all in 20 years, and she loves her to death. And just wonderful to talk to her because she's one of the greats, costume
Well, that
designers.
I
So.
agree. I wish I had met her too. I mean, one of my favorite moments was talking to Helena Bonham Carter and Tim Burton, and they're just so lovely. They're very unpretentious and pleasant and civilized people too. And she was saying, "Well, I'm like third down on the list, and Burton just looks at her with a great deal of affection and figures, he's going to have to put the tux on and be supportive, but it's not his idea of a good time."
Sure, yeah.
And they're all preparing Dark Shadows, every time I do a post on it, my traffic goes up sky high. So that's a certain indicator of a movie everybody's going to want to see.
Yeah, most of the night, honestly, I had Timothy Blake pegged down and was just in her ear about these kind of close races. Timothy Blake of SAG. And
Is that who was sitting next to you?
yeah, oh, you don't know Timothy?
I never met her,
Oh,
no.
okay, yeah.
No,
She
yeah, I was. I didn't know if she was with David. We were sitting with David Poland as well.
Right. And who else was there? Oh, Lisa Tayback with part of the Weinstein publicity gauntlet.
Look, they did an incredible job on the
Yeah.
King's Speech, and everybody's talking about, what happened? Why did the social network, fall behind in the King's Speech surge ahead? And I don't look at it that way. As badly as I did on my Oscar poll last night, because I knew going in that I was taking chances in a number of different categories, and congratulations on doing as well as you did. It was a tough year
Yeah, it
to
was
pick
tough.
right, and you were right about a number of things. The Split, for one. You were right about the fact that it would be
Hooper.
Tom Hooper as and but I was right about the King's Speech and the fact that all the categories were going to split up. It was just really hard to pick which ones were going to go where.
Well, I think your one from each column theory goes out the window when you consider Poor True Grit.
Yes, well, Poor True Grit did just it. Deakins was I was very surprised by that it went to
Yeah.
Inception, but Inception was a very mighty epic scale competitor, even
Right.
against True Grit, and it proved to, you know, it won as many Oscars as The King's Speech
Indeed,
did.
indeed.
And I was right about Alice in Wonderland getting
Yes, you
costumes.
were. I said as soon as it happened, you know, that's Anne for you. She got that. I just it's still atypical that that won costumes. It makes a lot more sense for art direction, and that's Robert Stromberg's second Oscar in a year in a row, excuse me.
You were right about that, and
One
I
for
was wrong about
Avatar.
that. I thought that would go the other way. But
No, I
you know.
expected King's Speech to win both, so I was wrong about both. I'll cop to that. But
All right.
the art direction made a lot of, 'cause now Tim Burton's streak is alive and well. Four films nominated for art direction, four films winning for art direction. So if you want to win an Oscar, go be an art director for Tim Burton.
Well, that's what he's known for. I mean,
Indeed.
that's what he is. And to say that you were saying King's Speech, period. Well, so was Alice in Wonderland, period. You know?
Yeah, but it's fantasy.
Well, that genre element turned out not to be a
That's
consideration.
true. And she deserves it, so I'm happy for
Yeah, no,
calling
I'm
out what.
glad to. I'm glad to. No, the big surprise, as long as we've gone into this territory, the big surprise for me of the night actually was the score for The Social Network. That I did
Yeah.
not expect.
That is extremely atypical and well deserved. I think the best of the nominees, but I would not have guessed that in a million years, even though plenty of people predicted it.
Apparently so. Apparently so. I just thought, I guess I was in this particular case, I was swayed by the combination of the very respected Alexandre Desplat being overdue. He's been nominated four times, and that was going to be the best picture winner. So that seemed a logical way to go. And ordinarily, that logic would have applied, but obviously, they did want to give this to Social Network.
Yeah, and
And not Fincher. I thought Fincher was going to get it. I really did. I was very surprised by that. Even though it's, as you and Sasha pointed out over and over again, statistically unlikely.
yeah. Well, a few people wanted to know actually from our solicitation for questions regarding Inception's four Oscar wins, you know, since you brought this up a moment ago, and it's on par with The King's Speech, the Best Picture winner getting four.
But they're technicals,
But they're
so there
technicals,
doesn't count
but
as
it,
much.
well, let me get to the question. They want to know if you think that it would have been in with five Best Picture nominees. I still don't think so, but what do you
I'm
think?
beginning to wonder because what seems clear to me now is that Kids Are All Right was farther down the list than I would have thought, finally, for whatever reasons. You
So
know,
what would have been.
the steak eater factor, you
Right.
know, the one I wrote about probably really was true. And I think that hurt. The Kids Are All Right in the final analysis. Although I have to say, even last night at the governor's ball, a number of people came up to me and said they thought Annette Bening was going to win, and a number of people said they thought she was close to winning.
I'm sure she was. It was a tight
So
race.
I think it was a tight race. So I'm not going to. I mean, the thing is, you know, I can beat myself up about having not done very well in the final picks, but if, you know, just in terms of where everything was going and what the factors were, except really for completely missing the score. I never thought that was even in contention. You know, we were both pretty close to laying it out the way it was.
If I could go back to Inception real quick, which one do you think would have fallen out? Black Swan? Surely not True Grit with 10 nominations.
Well, now the fact that it didn't win anything is
Makes
a
you wonder, but
Yeah,
it
the
has
actors
company in that
obviously
regard.
liked Black Swan. That we have to assume it would. Natalie Portman was pushed in, you know, mostly by actors and craftspeople, I would think.
We'll never know. I just wish they would do away with those extra five so we wouldn't
Tell
have
me
to think
about it.
about it this way.
I know.
But
Well,
yes.
part of what gets us into trouble, obviously, are those categories where you cannot. The having the 10 makes it that much more difficult to pick Best Picture, and having the small committees, not committees, but the small groups of people voting on shorts and docs and foreign makes it really hard to pick those races too.
And bravo on following your heart on the lost thing. I guess from now on, the animated short that bores me the most is the one I should just pick because the same thing happened to me with Danish Poet a few years ago. And yeah, I started to hear, you know, plenty of support for the Lost thing kind of down the stretch, so it didn't fully shock me. But I think, you know, you and Guy and very few people picked that one. Guy actually nailed all of the shorts, including God of Love, your favorite.
That's the thing. But, you know, I too was hearing all these people telling me how much they liked that one and that they actually voted for it. And I'm going, oh no, I hated that one.
What did you think about his moment on the stage?
I don't know. That guy was just, I don't know. He just was so goofy.
Well, one of my readers is actually a friend of his from way back, it seems, and he wanted to know what you think of him now, so I've asked you. I thought it was a great moment for him on stage, and I'm really happy for that guy. So we'll see where he goes from here on out. And what was the other? The documentary short was Strangers No More, which it was between that and I think the one you picked, The Warriors of
should have gone with the one I liked better, which was Strangers No More, which mm-hmm. the difference between the two is that Strangers No More was way more, I don't want to use the word slick, but it was just better made. It was a better made movie.
Right.
And more emotional.
What else
so
was there?
I should have gone that way.
Documentary feature, I fear I swayed you off of Inside Job because I saw that you ultimately picked Exit Through the Gift Shop.
I did. I know. I shouldn't have.
I shouldn't have either. I was with the Inside Job logic earlier in the week, and then I just followed my passion on Exit Through the Gift Shop. Total missed opportunity with the Academy all year with Banksy, or all Phase 2. I don't know how. It would have been interesting to build that up as like a will he or won't he kind of suspense, and no, they just nip it in the bud immediately and say, please don't show up. I mean, it's
yep.
just silly.
I know.
But it did have its moment at the Indie Spirits, and Mr. Brainwash accepted with his rambling speech.
In his typically loony way. And I saw him on the red carpet also, and he was just completely wackadoodle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everyone's wondering if James Franco was, quote, wackadoodle.
I wondered.
During his entire hosting duties.
I'm obviously not going to go there, but what I will say is that just seeing him at the Spirits, you could see how exhausted he was.
Right.
And hearing all the things, you know, the tweeting and the, you know, art gallery opening and the party after the art gallery opening that some friends of mine went to, full of a lot of art people. The guy was all over the place, and I don't care how young and healthy and strapping and fit he may be, you know, you can't push it that far and mm-hmm. not show the results of it. And I've been watching him all season, and I think he's accustomed to getting by on, you know, what's left, and that just didn't cut it at the Oscars.
Yeah, I'm still kind of turning it over in my head. I don't really know what was going on there. I almost wondered if it was some kind of weird subversive statement. The Oscars aren't that big of a deal, man, kind of thing.
Well, I think that was his way of coping with the fact. I mean, I talked to someone at the Governor's Ball about who worked on the show, who basically said that he never found the role he was to play at mm-hmm. the Oscars. In other words, Hathaway was game, and she did her best to make it work. But you could see he wasn't even trying to help her.
Mm-hmm.
They were not functioning together. He was actually dragging her down and the show down.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a talking point today around the water coolers.
Well, he's gotten pretty bad reviews, as the show, basically.
Yeah. It was an awful show. It was unfocused. The writing was bad. I don't know why they kept hearkening back to 1930s and what the point of that was, shining the light off of this year's accomplishments. It was really bizarre. Billy Crystal seemed like a arbitrary, let's throw him in there kind of thing.
I loved the movie at the beginning. I thought that was really good. And
everyone loves
off,
that.
Well,
remember it. What was it?
It was the Inception concept that you could have anticipated in advance, but it was funny, the idea that they were in Alec Baldwin's dream, you know.
Is that what everyone is talking about? Because I remember that, but I thought that everyone was talking about something that was right before that.
No, this is it. I mean, it starts in
the MTV Movie Awards montage of that was nonsense to me. I mean, I laughed, but it wasn't really.
It was amusing. That was fine. I'm glad they did the songs, even if they weren't riveting. Mm-hmm. You know, that was fine. You're right. There's very little to remember. Melissa Leo's F-bomb becomes the talking point for the entire night.
You think that was calculated?
No.
A lot of
Why
people
would you
think that
want to,
she.
be remembered for that?
Well,
Honestly.
no press is bad press, right?
I don't know. I mean, backstage, she was actually quite lucid and very good about how she took out one print ad, you know, and that shouldn't have been such a big deal, you know.
Well, what about Kirk Douglas?
He was delightful.
Yeah, I was fine with it. A lot of people were like,
Everybody
oh,
was
it's a bad
charmed.
idea,
I
but
thought he was charmed. I mean, charming. You know, he knows how he knows what he's doing more than most.
He's still sharp as a tack.
Exactly. You know, flirting with Melissa Leo and all that. I loved it.
I thought Bale gave a great speech. I
He was good.
think Portman finally gave a great speech.
She was
Even though
good
it
too.
was a list of names, it was still there was some kind of an attitude finally not there that had kind of been there all year.
And Sidler was good.
Sidler was great. Sorkin compared himself to Chayefsky, but he was good otherwise.
He was giving the same speech he's given a, you know, 50 million times.
I thought Randy Newman had the best speech of the night, personally.
He was great.
I was happy for him. Really happy that Trent Reznor is an Oscar winner, as we spoke about on the score a minute ago. It's just really cool to see that, being a guy who grew up with Nine Inch Nails and is a huge fan. Was happy to talk to him this year. Rick Baker has his seventh Oscar for The Wolfman.
Amazing. Although
Inception.
it's sad. I talked to him at the governor's ball also, and he, you know, it's just sort of sad to think about the fact that the art that he's being rewarded for is basically dying and over. And I find that really, really sad.
That's true. I mean,
And there are going to be a few older filmmakers who will favor that approach. And if you think about Inception and you think about the extraordinary achievements there that were not digital, you know, like going back to 2001 and building all those gimbals and everything, you know, to create the weightlessness. You know, a lot of practical approaches to making films and shooting on 35 and not putting it through a digital master. You know, that's Inception. You'd think, as everybody goes, oh, it's a lot of visual effects. Well, yeah, but it wasn't done
It's a lot
the
of
way
hard
people
work.
do it now.
It's going to become a novelty. I mean, Deakins isn't even going to shoot on film anymore. It's
These
very.
guys, these masters of light, they know exactly what the process, the photo process is, and how to get just the right color and just the right amount of light and everything, and all with filters and all those old-fashioned things. It's all going away, and I find that very sad.
Well, what more can we really say about the show? It kind of feels anticlimactic. It's a bit strange to me that the King's Speech didn't get a single craft win to be the Best Picture winner, to be a Best Picture, Best Director winner at that. But alas, four Oscars. It, I believe, is the only Best Picture winner nominated for 12 Oscars
To have won so few,
to win less than five.
and it's a very short list of movies to be like True Grit to have been nominated for 10 and win nothing.
Gangs of New York lost 10, The Turning Point and The Color Purple lost 11, so at least they're not the biggest Oscar losers of all
Well,
time.
and the fact that the truth is they won for No Country for Old Men. Bardem won, you know, supporting actor. You know, Bridges for Crazy Heart won best actor. There were a host of reasons why they didn't win anything.
And
It would
Matt
have been a
Damon will
different
one
year.
day have his day,
Yes,
and
he will.
hopefully Haley Steinfeld is at the beginning of a long, great
Absolutely.
career.
Absolutely. Now, the other thing I was going to say is that I want to put in my bid for who should be the host of the Oscars next year. I want Sandra Bullock to be the host.
You and Guy are on the same level.
She is so on it and nailed it and was so funny and so charming and the best thing of the whole. Personally, she was the best thing in the whole show.
I feel that way about Kevin Spacey as far as his onstage presence. I think he'd be a great host.
He'd be fine. He could handle it. He's a theater guy. I don't like all his imitations, though, and the fact that he
I
sang Fred
do.
Astaire sort of annoyed me.
Oh, well, yeah, that was. But it proves that he's got that thing that sometimes an Oscar host needs
He
that
can do it.
clearly Franco did not have
No,
or
no,
was not
no.
willing to drum up anyway.
I think what annoys me most about the Franco Hathaway thing is I don't mind if they want to try new things. I think they should have not been making such a naked bid for younger viewers as if this was somehow going to deliver them. And I think every time they go off the message, which is really about honoring quality filmmaking, you know, that's the message. And, you know, catering to a different demo on television is not the answer,
Well,
in my
this goes to
opinion.
what a lot of people asked this week on the questions, which was, there are a number of people actually that apparently like the show, but a lot of people were asking, has it just become kind of the thing to do to dump on an Oscar telecast, and what needs to happen for an Oscar telecast to succeed? I think you need to take a lot of notes from what Bill Condon and Larry Mark
I'm
did.
going back to them too. I was saying the same thing.
They did
It
exactly what
is,
you're talking about. They made it
yeah.
all about the films. They made it all about the process. I mean, they
But so did Laura
structured the
Ziskin,
show. They
the year that I admired.
they
Yeah.
structured the show as if it was, the making of a production,
Right.
starting with the first elements and ending with mostly ending with the last elements. And I think that was a stroke of genius, and you need to kind of that kind of creativity needs to happen. And I don't know what's why no one else can really nail it down very well. So
Well, for one thing, you know, those Condon's a really good filmmaker who understands stagecraft and you know, and he's a good writer. He's really I think one of the most talented people who's been put in that position. I mean, but the problem is that it's hard to get people to take on that job. Who they all
It's a
have
commitment.
careers, and it's a draining, difficult, thankless thing, because you end up with the likes of us giving you a hard time the next day, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, everybody
exactly.
complains about the Oscars. I wish Steven Spielberg would produce the Oscars, but the guy's not going to do it.
Yeah,
Why would
he
he?
would do a killer show.
Oh, he'd be amazing.
Well, what do you think about what he had to say before presenting Best Picture, saying that whoever does not win is in the league of all these other great films?
It was fine. What I was struck by in the room and
But
my sense.
it was a clear indication of the culture of the season, no? About how about the hysteria of Social Network not winning after winning all of the critics' awards. I mean, it was clearly commentary toward that, no?
I didn't read it that way. I
I
see
don't I
that it
can't see
might
how
be
you couldn't read
so.
it that way.
No,
It's
I see that you. First of all, just backing up for a second, I was in the interview room. Being, you know, watching, listening to the show, listening to the interviews, writing stuff up. So my concentration on the show itself was not 100% every minute. So I would have to say, you know, back off a little bit from that. I'd have to look at it again.
I'll take a look, but yeah, he would produce a killer show. Well, as far as Franco goes, I do want to say that while he clearly wasn't the guy for the job ultimately, I have a lot of respect for him agreeing to do it. It's a ballsy thing to do for an actor at his stage of his career, and Hathaway too, really.
Well, I would argue that both of them came out of it with an enormous boost to their recognition, fame, and TVQ and all those things.
Sure.
There's no question but that that's true. And I think ultimately, even if Franco's sort of eating it today, he came out ahead as far as just his own notoriety.
Anything else before we go to the questions? Robert Hammer wants to know, what are the most important lessons you learned as a pundit from this year's Oscar season? Start with some with a soft lob, I guess, but not really at all. What do you think?
I learned to stick to my instincts and intuition over statistics. And I think, though, just as far as picking the final winners, go with the front runner in as many categories as you're comfortable with, and only go out on a limb a couple times if you want to win your pool.
I figure, if I learned anything this year, and it's something I learn more and more each time I do this, is that a healthy space of removal from everything is really a good idea.
Yes, if part of what happens with me is if I've written up a case for Annette Bening or Helena Bonham Carter, how they could do this or come up from the outside or whatever, that's fine. I can write that. But at the end of the day, I don't have to stick to that on my Oscar picks. You know, I can back off if it's really not going to happen.
And you know, it's probably easier for me to say that because my favorite, and I'll be writing this very statement in a piece of closing later today, but my favorite films in the 10 years I've been doing this are Exit Through the Gift Shop, Assassination of Jesse James, The Fountain, Inland Empire, Last Days. These are not films that were ever in any Best Picture conversation, so maybe it's easy for me to take everything with more of a grain of salt. So I don't really have horses in the hunt that I'm really, truly dying to see them win an Oscar. But I do think that it's a good idea to understand at the end of the day, this is just a group of people with something to say on the matter. That's all it is. Yes, they're artists. Yes, they're part of the process. But they're a group of people with opinions. Simple as that. And many of them with political motives. So.
I do think that the noise that we help to create, and but more, not just us, but more the whole process of having one award show after another, that the momentum of winning is more powerful than it used to be, and that it's difficult to
Is it really
take.
though? I mean,
I think so.
Bigelow and Bull had a tough time funding their next movie.
Oh, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about,
What momentum then? Maybe I misread you.
what I'm saying is that if it's more banal. I mean, if Natalie Portman is winning everything, she's going to win the
Oh,
Oscar.
I see. I see.
If Social Network was winning certain things, but not once it got to the guilds. So King's Speech got the late momentum in that case, but it was always going to win. That's the thing. It was the one that everybody liked the best. It's that simple.
Cinephile wants to know, Annette Bening is now, after her fourth Oscar loss, joining the unofficial list of overdue actors to win. I'd be interested to know, who do both of you consider the most overdue living actors and actresses to win an Academy Award? He says his top three are, or it might be a she, I'm sorry if that's the case, Albert Finney, Julianne Moore, and Glenn Close. What do you think?
Well, that's an interesting question because Annette Bening is still going to be making movies and starring in movies, and I wouldn't be surprised at all
She'll win one day.
if she will, you know, deliver. And Julianne Moore as well. I could see that happening easily. The issue there, though, with Glenn Close and
Albert Finney.
Albert Finney is that they're not really working in movies as much anymore.
I think Glenn Close is going to be in the conversation this next year.
For what film?
The film's called Albert Nobbs. It's Rodrigo Garcia's new movie. And she plays an English woman who disguises herself as a man and works as a butler in order to survive in a male-dominated 19th century Ireland.
Cool.
So,
That
could
could
be
be
in the
her.
conversation,
Absolutely. I'd love to see that happen. Long overdue.
along with Meryl Streep, who obviously is playing Margaret Thatcher. But I refuse to start talking about that right now. I think Peter O'Toole should definitely be on that list of well overdue for an Oscar.
Roger Deakins.
Roger Deakins, yeah, if we're not talking about actors, for sure.
And Alexandre Duplass.
Well, Greg P. Russell and Kevin O'Connell, sound mixers
That's right.
in the double digits and losing. So, you know, Oscar either gets to you or he doesn't, you
I think
know.
Darren Aronofsky is going to end up winning in a year or so or two. You know, I'm that guy's not going
He
anywhere.
seems to me like a Scorsese type, but he's gonna have to prove longevity with his breed of cinema before I think he wins.
I think he made a long, long stride this year toward being
Yeah.
accepted by a group that I frankly underestimated in terms of being willing to accept him. I had copped to that. I was tough on what the Academy would do with Black Swan, and if Darren wants me to pay him $20, I'm going to do it.
Most of this thread asking for questions just turned into general discussion, so I can't even really glean any questions. But I appreciate you guys for submitting them anyway. We're gonna try to wrap things up. Let's talk about what we're gonna do in the off season, which for my part is nothing, at least until Cannes.
So, do you want to get on the? You want me and Guy Lodge to weigh in from Cannes with you?
Maybe we could do something like that. That's worth considering, you know, a three-way from Cannes. That'll be about the time that I'm kind of coming out of hibernation, so that's good. I personally don't feel like doing the kind of updates throughout the off season just because I don't know what I'll get to as far as having an opinion on things. I don't know. I might catch up with a lot of things at the end of the year rather than seeing things throughout the summer or what have you, and it might just be a better idea for me to wait until late August before we really dive in. But a can thing would certainly be worth it, and we could talk about that. But otherwise, week of August 22nd is when the next season really starts.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Chris, as always.
You too. I'd like to say you're a formidable colleague and a good friend, and thank you.
I feel the same way about you.
And I appreciate everybody listening to us. This is our 55th installment of Oscar Talk, and it's going strong. And we appreciate the listenership and the readership. So until, I guess, maybe can,
Oscar Talk is closed.
Oscar Talk is closed. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.